The Sex Ed with Tim podcast is recorded on the traditional territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabeg, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples, and is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people. We acknowledge that Toronto is covered by Treaty 13, signed with the Mississaugas of the Credit, and the Williams Treaty, signed with multiple Mississaugas and Chippewa bands.
You're listening to Sex Ed with Tim.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sex Ed with Tim podcast. I'm your host, Tim, certified sex educator, your local chaotic homosexual, and when you get really emotional and act out during your period, you're just ovary acting. Yes, okay, great. That was bad.
Cue the laughter.
No, my God, that was so forced. I'm kidding. Oh, that was so bad. No, it's so bad. I'm so sorry to put you through that.
I'm autistic, so sometimes I laugh inside myself.
Okay, great. So there is laughter. And I'm not just
It was a good joke.
Oh God.
It takes a lot to make me piss myself, by the way. Oh. Like it takes me a lot. Like it has to really hit something within me.
It has to really hit.
It's very specific.
I'm gonna find that sweet piss laughter spot by the end of this episode, Jem. Speaking of, let me introduce you first because we're gonna go so off topic. But to my chlamydiates out there, my fans, my beautiful, lovely, wonderful chlamydiates, my guest today is a sexologist, a menstrual coach, and the host of the Blood Slut podcast. Please welcome to the show, Jem Campbell. Meow, 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 meow. Air horn.
Wow.
Straight from the Sydney Opera House.
Ew, I fucking hate that place. No, not really. I've actually never been in there. I hate Sydney. Sydney fucking sucks.
Is it? Is it bad?
I don't like it. I don't like big cities. Freak me out. They make me anxious. They make me want to like have a giant panic attack.
Yeah. All I know about Australia is from TikTok, and it just seems like everything wants to kill me.
Not the snakes, not the snakes and the spiders and the lizards and the crocodiles.
I've had one guest who's also Australian say, yeah, everything is trying to kill you. Snakes, spiders, and baristas. And I'm like, what?
Baristas, though?
Yeah, when they pump so much sugar in your drink that they just give you diabetes.
Oh, I didn't know that was an Aussie thing, but okay, sure.
Jem, please, like, introduce yourself to my fans.
Yeah, hi fans, hi bitches, what's up? My name's Jem. I'm really excited to be here, first of all. I'm really excited to have some laughs. And yeah, I don't know what we're talking about. Are we talking about periods today? Is that what we're going for?
Sure, periods.
All the taboo things, vulvas, whatever comes about.
Yeah, everything.
Vulvas, hell yeah. Yeah, my two favorite topics are vulvas and periods, for sure. I love talking about womb healing. I really just love like removing the taboo and destigmatizing topics that society has a lot of trouble talking about openly, like periods, like sex, like vulvas, like female pleasure, like period blood, and outies as well, which is a type of vulva where your inner lips protrude more than your outer lips. And, you know, I have an outie, and so it's something that I love to talk about, and I love educating on vulva diversity. So yeah, I'm really keen to get into this combo today.
I love it. We're talking about my second favorite punctuation mark just behind the interrobang. We're talking about periods today. And again, another stupid dad joke. Oh my God, why am I on here? But I wanted really to talk about this because I do not have a vulva and I do not menstruate. So I want to know more about like, you know, everything there is about periods and vulvas and the conversation around that, because I feel like I haven't had much of that conversation here on my show. But I wanted to start the conversation with regarding genital insecurity, because that I feel is a very universal topic. Regardless of whatever is in between your legs, we are all insecure about it one way or another. But I would like to know about genital insecurity from someone who does have a vulva. What is the conversation around that like?
There's a lot of insecurity, I think, that's not very, like, not spoken about very openly around vulva owners who have outies, like I mentioned earlier. So the type of vulva where the inner flaps, the labia minora, the inner lips protrude, and they're quite visible from the front, like when your legs aren't, you know, spread. When we were growing up, especially, like, I don't know how old you are, but I'm 28. And when I went through high school, like, we didn't have comprehensive sex education. It was very abstinence-based, and they didn't teach us about the diversity of a vulva. You know, there was always a lot of talk about penises, I feel, like, at least, like, circumcised, non-circumcised, big, curved, whatever. But when it came to vulvas, it was kind of like there's like this shame energy, like this awkwardness, like people just don't want to talk about it, like it's taboo, right? And so I really noticed, like, when I was younger, like, I had a lot of insecurity around mine. And as I got older and I started healing that, I was like, there must be, like, loads of other people who have been through this. Like, I can't be the only one. And after studying sexology, I knew that, you know, all different types of vulvas are really common. It's not just the inner vulvas or the ones that where you can't see your inner flaps that are common. And, you know, growing up with porn as well, watching a lot of porn, a lot of vulva owners in porn have innies or tidy, I'm using like air quotes, tidy, neat pussies. And so growing up, a lot of us were exposed to that type of vulva, and we didn't actually realize maybe that our type of vulva, an outie vulva, is normal and healthy, because we weren't really exposed to images, like visuals of that sort of vulva. And so what, you know, when we're not taught about something, like with periods, when we're not taught how to track our menstrual cycle, we're not taught that our menstrual blood is perfectly fine to show people. It doesn't have to be secretive. When we don't talk about these things, it just breeds shame and it breeds insecurity. And so that's what happened to me. And I started feeling really, really insecure about my vulva in my late teens and early 20s, when people were like, my close friends and also boyfriends were picking on my vulva and like bullying me for how my vulva looked. Cause I was very confident. I've always been very confident with my body, besides my vulva, like naked and stuff. So I would like walk around naked all the time when I lived in like a flat with my friends, and they would all just like notice that they, you know, they could see my flaps, and they were like, oh, that's cause they all had innies. And so I kind of just felt like othered, and kind of like they were all ganging up on me, and they all had like these cute tidy pussies that boys were calling pretty and stuff. And then, you know, no one really ever said that about mine, I guess, because a lot of boys were maybe confused, maybe they hadn't seen many vulvas, and they were like, oh, this is different to what I've seen in porn. And so I kind of just like it started breeding all this insecurity, and I was already a very deeply insecure person with quite low self-worth. And so on top of that, it's going to breed shame.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that innies were the thing, like even in porn? Why not feature more outie vulvas in porn? What is it so appealing about the innie?
I honestly think it's just like everything else. It's to fit the male gaze. And what's ironic about that is that I have spoken to so many men and AMAB people, and they're all like, I actually love outies. Like, I love all types of vulvas. They're all beautiful. And I've had so many men and AMAB people commenting on my stuff on social media being like, oh, like, I love, like, outies. Like, some of them even saying, I like them better than innies. And I'm like, let's not say that, but okay.
Okay.
No, we're not, like, don't. Dissing the other one. No.
Loving all of it.
Loving all of the pussies out there. So Yeah, I guess, like, I don't know. I think I don't know the history because I wasn't alive, you know, when back then, but I'm assuming it's because it was kind of just one of those unrealistic beauty standards that patriarchy loves to put on women and AFAB people, and to be like, yeah, you have to like look exactly like this or you're not beautiful. It's like you have to have long hair, like you can't have like a shaved head, you have to like have nice pink cheeks and like high cheekbones, and you have to have a little waist and like just all those things. It's just another one of those things. Yeah. So exhausting. And this is like a random thought, but maybe it's because like actually I had no this I reckon is probably a major reason why, like, I've heard a lot of men over the years say things like, oh, like, what a train wreck pussy for someone who has like a guy friend. Literally, I made an Instagram reel on this the other day actually, and a guy friend literally said that to me, not about my pussy, because he hadn't seen my pussy, but he was like, oh, I had sex with this girl and she had a fucking train wreck pussy. And I've heard your other friend has a train wreck pussy. And what they're implying is that these women had a lot of sex. They were quote unquote sluts, or had a lot of sexual partners and were very promiscuous, which isn't a bad thing. No slut shaming here, but
we're slut embracing here on Sex Ed with Tim.
Slut embracing. Yes. So, oh my God. And I was just like, ew, what the fuck? And like, I had a vulva like that. So I was like, does that mean I have a train wreck pussy? Ew, I don't want a train wreck pussy. Like, so then I was like, I want to get a labiaplasty now. Like, I want to get them like chopped right off. Like, fuck this. I don't want a train wreck pussy. I don't want men and boys to think that like my pussy is gross and ugly. Like, I want to appease the male gaze. It wasn't coming really from like my own personal insecurity, really. It was just like it was bred from this place of wanting to please men. And so I think, yeah, a major part of that is because men had there's like this rhetoric, and it's still probably a rhetoric now, that bigger flaps mean that you have a loose vagina. You've had lots of sex and you're loose and the sex isn't going to feel good, which we know is a total myth. You can't have a loose vagina.
No, you can have loose lips, but that's you gossiping, not like loose labial lips. That's so stupid. And also, like, where is this like narrative coming from that a loose vagina is a bad thing? Whereas like you want like a tight vagina that's like, what, you can't even put it in? Like, like, ew.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Like, do you want them to be in pain? Like, do you want them to have vaginismus? Because I would not wish vaginismus upon anyone.
No. Oh my God. That sounds painful. You might as well be, I don't know, the fucking Ziploc bag that, like, pushing it through. That's so ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's this whole rhetoric again around like the innocence thing, right? It's like men want innocent virgins and like all that.
Just like a little tiny little girl. So like you gotta be inexperienced, but you also gotta be really horny. You gotta be like innocent, but you also gotta be kind of slutty. Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck? So
contradicts each other. What do you want?
Yeah, I've taken myself to the extreme where I'm just garbage. Okay, like I have been used up around the block. I still have cum dripping out of my ass as we speak, recording right now. And this is cum.
For real?
Yeah. I had sex before coming here. So
hell yeah.
Yeah, I forgot his name. I should probably text him and be like, hey, that was great. I never remember their names.
I can feel your cum dripping out of my ass.
Well, I never remember their names because why would I, right? You know, who needs to know men's names? Ugh, gross.
Yeah.
I do relate because I, not to like center around me and my penis, like, but I can relate in the sense that like I also had genital insecurity. Oh, I say that in the past tense. I still do sometimes. But my genital insecurity also comes from the male gaze. And when I say gaze, I mean that in both spellings, G-A-Z-E-G-A-Y-S. Because the male gaze have very high standards and also rooted in heteronormative standards and patriarchy. Like, you gotta be big, you gotta be like, you know, a perfect little plump bush. And it's like, I don't have any of that anymore. Like, I age. I'm 31 now. I wasn't as tight as I used to be when I was in my mid 20s, early 20s, right? So I relate in the genital insecurity in the sense that, like, I was also worried about, like, oh, am I too small? Should I have bleached my asshole? Like, that was something that crossed my mind. I'm like, is it too dark? And then also, like, how do I get started? Do I, like, put a Crest White strip on it? Like, what do I do?
I'm sorry. I'm just picturing you with, like, your dark features and then just, like, your bleached asshole.
Yes, exactly.
That's so wrong. It doesn't make any sense.
Why would that be the only thing that's light about me? Like, I have this naturally beautiful caramel skin. And then the only thing that's, like, really shining bright, like Ross from Friends, teeth white, would be my asshole.
Your asshole gotta be white.
Oh my god, it needs to be so white that it's got its own privilege, you know?
Yeah, like, literally.
That my asshole needs to be so white that it'll never be pulled over by a cop.
Like, literally a cop pulls you over and you're just like, one moment please, roll
drop
over
pants.
Just
yeah.
Asshole
and then the cop will be like, all right, moving on, you're clear. My asshole needs to be so white that it doesn't need to work for a promotion. It just gets it, you know?
Oh my god, the privilege of a white asshole these days.
Oh, yes. I mean, every man that I've slept with who's white is an asshole.
Like, oh, what a surprise, really.
I know, right? Groundbreaking. Absolutely.
Wow.
And, like, back in my escorting days, they would always, like, fetishize me for being the Asian one.
Of course.
Like, of course, you know? Like, oh my god, what kind of Asian are you? And I'm like, I said it on my profile. What I know, right?
What
spice?
What kind of Asian are you? Tell me. I need to know before I fuck you in the ass.
Yeah,
I really
need
to
know how racist I have to be in order to fuck you. I'm like, I mean, I put the Philippines Jesus. Flag on my username. Did that not give it away? Some
maybe
of them
you
were,
need to stamp it on your forehead.
I probably should just like tattoo the word "I am Filipino." It was just so ridiculous that like. Because I surrounded myself with a very specific demographic, and this was due to escorting, that I associated the ideal genitals around that. So it is, I kind of conditioned myself into thinking that, but, you know, I'm over it now. Like, I don't care because I've got men from all around the world wanting to fuck me because I can make them come in 15 seconds flat.
What can I say?
Just casually. But I do have a different journey when it comes to loving my genitals, but I'm wondering, Jem, what is your journey like when it comes to loving your own genitals?
Thank you for sharing your story as well. For me, it's been a long road to, I guess, recovery, if you like. Like, when I was about 13, 14, I developed the insecurity, I would say, because I looked at my vulva for the first time with a mirror and I was like, why the fuck do I have weird little bits of skin hanging from my pussy? What the fuck is that?
Like a hand
and I
mirror?
Kind of freaked out. Yeah, because I was a tennis player. Like, I was really sporty and athletic. And so I used to get real bad pussy sweat, still do. And so I would put this, like, it was kind of like this femme powder, which was probably really bad and really fucked up my pH. It was kind of like baby powder, but like femme powder. And it was like fragrance. It's just one of those things that, like, they're like, yeah, dermatologists recommend, but like gynecologists wouldn't. So it's like,
because apparently your pussy's supposed to smell like a lavender field. What the hell?
Exactly. It must smell like flowers and roses and butterflies.
Oh,
and
God.
So yeah, I would put that on, and I think I was like using the mirror to like put it on or something, I don't know, and I was like, whoa, I was like, wait, I'm busy. And then I went to a doctor and she looked at it and told me that I had genital warts. I was like 16. She examined me because I thought I had thrush or something, and she picked up my flaps like this and was like, do you have warts? And I was like, girl, no. And even at 16, I was like, I know I do not have warts, queen. Like, I know what warts look like, and my flaps do not look like warts. Thank you. Anyway, so I went to a women's health nurse to get examined because I trusted this woman. I'd seen her before. And I was like, please look at me and tell me that my pussy is normal. What the fuck's wrong with it? And she was like, yeah, you just have an Audi. Like, you're totally normal, totally healthy. And I was like, sweet. But the insecurity just still lingered. And it wasn't until maybe my, you know, mid-20s when I really started to, I guess, heal that. And it was through OnlyFans. It was through doing online sex work and also full service sex work. I did a little bit of as well. That really helped me heal my relationship with my pussy. Like, I had to look at it close up. I had to take photos. I was making porn and I edited it all myself. So I was looking at my pussy constantly close up in photos and videos and getting fucked in all kinds of ways. And I was like, okay, this is confronting and I'm anxious to put this on the internet for people to watch. But I got so much good feedback. All of my fans on OnlyFans were like, wow, like, this is, you know, I love your pussy. It's like beautiful. It's like, you know, so sexy. And I was like, what? Like, all my ex-boyfriends had made really nasty comments about it. Like, oh, it looks like a puppy dog tongue. It looks like a shark fin, or just things that like were just mean. And they would just like tell me how ugly it was, like, and bully me and like all kinds of things. And my friends would always bring it up and be like, yeah, boys always tell me I have a tidy, neat pussy and they love it and it's really pretty. And like, you could tell they were just putting me down because they knew that my pussy didn't look like that. And yeah, it was horrible. And so I had to recover from all this stuff. And I think therapy definitely helped, and you know, healing a lot of my own issues with my self-worth and trying to increase my self-worth and my self-esteem, my self-confidence. Like, I was very confident sexually though, which is quite ironic considering I was very insecure about how my vulva looks. But I was very confident having sex, and I just kind of had these strategies that I would do in the bedroom to kind of stop people from seeing my vulva in like full light in all its glory. So I would make sure the lights were low, or in doggy style, I would like kind of like split my flaps with my fingers like this from the front, so that like they weren't just like hanging down like a little ball sack. Cause I used to feel like, oh, they're just like a little ball sack, you know? And I just would feel like kind of weird, maybe a bit even dysphoric with that, like gender dysphoric. And so I'd kind of just move them and adjust them out of the way. And that was my strategy for a while, but I knew that I had to find a way to love my vulva, or I was never going to be able to love myself fully. Because when you hate a part of yourself so much, it really does affect every aspect of your life. And so I really had to keep taking the photos, keep taking the videos, and keep looking and spending time with my vulva in the mirror as well, outside of filming for OnlyFans, and just having the mirror there and just like gazing at my vulva kind of with curiosity and observing it, as opposed to judging it and you know, saying like, oh, it looks so ugly, just being like, oh, okay, I can see that, like, you know, my flaps are, there's a lot of flap there, and just kind of like changing the dialogue when I was talking about my vulva.
I've always been a proponent of self-care sexually, which doesn't just involve masturbating, but it should also involve actively eroticizing yourself. And what I mean by that is looking at a mirror, masturbate, look at what parts of your body that you enjoy, what parts of your body you don't enjoy, and then ask yourself why you don't enjoy it, because chances are somebody else actually likes that part of you. Like, I used to be so insecure about having such a big ass, and then now jump forward to 2024, like, everyone loves a huge ass, and I'm like, oh great, where was this back when I was 21? Like, I want that for people. And for me, a part of my self-care routine has also been like recording myself having sex or masturbating, and then watching that video back and then masturbating to it, which I think is a little narcissistic, but whatever, it's fine.
I don't think it's narcissistic at all. No? I think that's hot. No, not at all. I think I think it's honestly just like you're appreciating yourself. I think like in our society we're conditioned to think that that's vain or that that is narcissistic, but I really don't think it is. I think you're just, it comes from a place of self-love. It's kind of hot and beautiful, fair. Really.
That is fair. It is hot. Like I watch videos of me having sex with my ex-partner with his permission. Like he knew that we were taping. And I find it really hot and I still keep it even though we're exes. So I'm just going to keep it for revenge porn if he ever says something about me. How dare he? Look, I'm gay, I'm horny, but I'm also vindictive. So I could easily take him down with one subreddit. So is that like where it stops? Because like genital insecurity, I feel like is not just a one-stop kind of thing. How do Absolutely we keep not. Loving how do we keep loving ourselves past that insecurity?
Yeah, great question. It's definitely going to be a lifelong journey. Like having any insecurity, it's likely going to hang around. And it's not, when I say, like when I talk about healing vulva insecurity, I'm not saying that it's going to just go away. Even if you do years of work, which I have probably done about 4 or 5 years of healing work with my vulva at this point, and I still, like yourself, have these insecurities that pop up some days, and I'm like, I don't know if I like the way it looks today. But what's changed is the way that I talk to myself about my vulva and the way that I speak to my vulva. It's all about language and the way that we talk to these insecurities. So I would have used to said, it's so ugly. Like my partner the other day sent me a photo, a nude that they must have just found in their phone. And I was like, oh, that's quite revealing. I could see like my flaps hanging down, like my leg was up, I was naked. And I was like, oh, that's like quite confronting. But I was kind of, that's what I said to myself. I was like, oh, that's a bit confronting that, you know, I can see like everything. That's a lot of flap. Like it was kind of just that curious, like an observant language, as opposed to being like, oh, that's so ugly. I hate it. Like, I can't believe that like they're attracted to that. Like they're the thoughts that I would have had years ago before I started doing this healing work. And so what happens when you start healing an insecurity is that you develop skills and ways to manage the negative thoughts and negative belief systems that you have around the insecurity. And so it's all about just maintaining that. It's not really like positive self-talk, but just like that more neutral language. And on top of using that neutral language in those moments when this insecurity does like rear its head, is also making sure that you're staying consistent with your self-love practices, that you're still doing, like masturbating in front of the mirror, or just like gazing at your genitals in front of the mirror, or taking sexy photos of your genitals with your partner, or getting your partner to take those photos, like just maintaining practices like that and always staying connected as well. So even just sitting in meditation with your hands over your vulva, or something as simple as that, a couple of times a week or even a couple of times a month, just whatever you can manage, you know. And there's going to be times where you don't prioritize that and you might relapse a little bit, which I feel like is what's happened with me at the moment. But it's how you get back on track and back on your feet after that little relapse, right?
Mm-hmm. That's resilience, baby.
Bitches,
chlamydiates. It's all about resilience, because we're like, you and I, we're both sex educators, and I feel like there is sometimes this standard where like we're supposed to be good, we're supposed to be like on top of our sexual health all the time and our mental. But guess what, people, we're fucking human. We also like have days when, you know, I don't feel quite good in my body. I don't feel quite nice with my genitals. Some of the mantras that I've repeated to myself in front of the mirror is, I wouldn't say kind. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to say it. I was in front of the mirror and I said, "You're a fucking dirty slut." That's right. You are.
Yes.
So I, like some clean talk would have been like, "You're beautiful. You're perfect. You look like Linda Evangelista." You know, that kind of that kind of,
"You're a filthy, talk. Dirty slut."
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what made me feel good about myself. It's like, you deserve to be used however you want. Like, you're a cum dump. you're a semen collector, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, and that's how I got to, like, I don't know, let me check my spreadsheet. Yeah, like 2,000 plus men on my spreadsheet of sex.
Wow, you count them? Like, you keep track? Well,
Excel does the thing where it was like the row count, right? So.
Oh, nice. So you don't have to manually do it.
Yeah. And also, like, yeah, I don't want to bother remember with, like, a ticker, you know, like a bouncer at a club. Mm. It's like, next customer, now serving number. I have done that, actually.
Of course you have.
Yeah, I was at a bathhouse. I was at a bathhouse with my ass up in the air. It's like, next. Come on. Take a number. Next. They all make their deposit and then move the fuck on. Like I said, I can make guys come very quickly. I don't know what it is about me, but, or my asshole, but they
that
do.
That tight little ass.
It is tight. It's so tight. It's so tight. I'm just a tiny little boy who's tight asshole.
Oh, of course all the white men love that.
They do.
But
I mean,
yeah,
you know, like, I've diversified my portfolio to not just
nice,
white men.
Nice, yes, love to see it.
If I were to have like a scratch off of the globe to indicate which men I've had sex with from which country, that entire globe would be like colored in.
Wow.
Yeah. Not like, wow. I go around asking where they're from. They kind of just like tell me. They're like, oh, I don't have, there's no men like this back in India. And I was like, oh, okay. There you go.
India, so, tick.
Tick, done. America, done. You know, I think the only thing I'm missing would be Antarctica, but that would be...
Would be like borderline, like maybe bestiality type stuff. And we're not into that here. No.
Unless I fuck a scientist that's based in Antarctica.
Oh, there are scientists there. That's true. There's not just polar bears.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, or penguins. No. I want to fuck like a scientist down there. Or
actually,
my ultimate goal would be like to get astronaut training and then go to the International Space Station and do it there. Oh.
Oh, wow. You need to add that one to your bucket list, babe.
I do. Before I die, get astronaut training and then fly over to the space station. Jesus Christ. I don't even know what that is anymore. It's not the Mile High Club. It's the Light Year High Club.
No fucking idea. Yeah.
We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Yes!
What's up, all you sick fucking perverts? Don't you just love love? The Love Shop has everything you need to feel the love in the air, or in between your legs, wherever you want, really. They've got everything from vibrators, lubes, lingerie, and even full-sized sex dolls. Well, I guess love really does come in all shapes and sizes. Visit loveshop.ca/sexedwithtim and use code sexedwithtim at checkout for 15% off the whole store. And the best part is that they ship all over Canada, US, and what? Ireland? To all my whores in Dublin, top of the morning to ya. That's loveshop.ca/sexedwithtim and check out code sexedwithtim for 15% off the entire store. Now get to fucking. Do you like feeling sexy and looking sexy? Of course you do. Only my listeners are sexy as fuck. I have partnered with fetishwear designer Dale Kuda to bring you the hottest deals on custom jockstraps, harnesses, hats, and more. Head over to dalekuda.com, that's dalekuda.com, and use code SEXEDWITHTIM at checkout for 25% off the entire store. Yeah, you heard me, 25% off, and cherry on top, free shipping. Oh my god, I have a few of the stuff that he has made for me, and girl, I'm wearing it right now. I'm wearing like a little jock strap so that I could easily just like slip a little butt plug or dildo every now and then here and there, and I'm on the train, I'm just like thank you, Dale. That's dalekuda.com with the code SEXEDWITHTIM for 25% off your entire purchase with free shipping. With a deal like that, I swear I could come buckets, honey.
The show is about to begin.
Yes.
I also wanted to talk about periods because, you know, my second favorite punctuation mark. I wanted to start with a question that was asked of me and my sexual health panel back in October. And a student submitted this question, and it was the sweetest question. I want to know how you would answer it. She asks, if I don't want to have any children, do I still have to have a period?
Oh, ain't that the cutest little thing?
Yeah. How would you answer that?
Yeah, if you... you don't have to if you don't want to. If you don't want to bleed out of your pussoir, there are ways to stop that, right? But I encourage you to, before deciding to do that, learn about the menstrual cycle and learn about the value that it can bring to your life. Because a lot of people don't think there's value to having a menstrual cycle, or as it should be called, an ovulation cycle, because the period does not happen without ovulation, bitch. If you don't want to get pregnant ever, like me, you can still enjoy having a menstrual cycle. It doesn't need to be a burden, and it doesn't need to be something that you only use to have a pregnancy. Because for me, like a few years ago, I started connecting with my menstrual blood itself. I've always found it fascinating, and I honestly think I had a bit of a like ADHD fixation with it for a while, where I was like, this stuff's so cool. And I was like, blood. And I love like horror stuff too. So I think it was kind of fueled by that. But like, you can like learn to love your blood. Like you can learn to love your cervical mucus or your cum or any part of your body or anything that comes out of you. You can learn to love your poo if you want. I don't know. But like, but menstrual blood.
Oh, this cute little ship poo, log. Poo, poo. I'm going to name him Henry. Like this big log behind me.
I was literally thinking that looks like a giant penis ship.
It is. It is a giant penis. Both are.
I want it to be a giant penis poo, though, like a poo shaped like a penis.
Maybe I'm going to buy a poo plushie, like a big poo plush. But for now, this is a big penis. This is Richard and Jackson.
Big dick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Dick, Richard. And over here is Jackson.
Oh my God, Dick. Yeah.
Dick and Jackson.
You're so nice and plump.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's so fine. But yeah, I don't know. I was just thinking of a poo-shaped penis. I don't know. I just...
Or a penis-shaped poo, like, you mean? Because a poo-shaped penis... Because a poo-shaped penis, that...
A poo-shaped penis. Yeah. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Yeah. I got it the wrong way around.
A penis-shaped poo.
A penis-shaped poo. Like, wouldn't that be nice just to shit out a penis and you're just like, wow.
Complete with balls.
What a work of art. Yeah.
I'd frame that.
I would too. I would be like, I would be fishing that out of the toilet bowl.
Giving it to the
Louvre.
Okay,
back to periods. Anyway. Yeah. Look at this. It's beautiful.
This masterpiece. Michelangelo wishes. Okay. Moving on.
Yeah, okay. Stop. So yeah, like you can enjoy having your period. Some people feel, you know, might feel gender dysphoric around their period and that's why they don't want it. That's totally fair. You can, you know, there's different hormone therapies and contraceptives that you can take to stop your period if that's you. But for young people who are like, I don't ever want to get pregnant. Why do I fucking need this thing? Like, what is the actual point of it? You are a cyclical being inherently. Even people who don't have a womb or a menstrual cycle are still cyclical beings. If you think about like your menstrual cycle, it's kind of similar to a moon cycle. It affects you emotionally, but it also affects you physically. It affects all parts of your being. And so if you're removing that, you're actually like, if you're stopping your period and suppressing your ovulation, you are potentially going to alter your personality and who you actually are as a person, because we know that our hormones and our cycles do make up a big part of our personality and how we respond to things and the connections that we make, the relationships that we have, the personality traits that we have. And so, you know, when we think about the cycle, we have four phases. So we have menstruation, follicular phase, ovulation, and the luteal / premenstrual phase, which is people tend to just call PMS. That's not a cycle phase, babes. Okay. That's that's something that people can experience when they're premenstrual. You don't just call that that whole phase PMS. And I think that's why a lot of people dislike their period and their cycle, because of that PMS, the PMS that they experience, or the issues that they have in their premenstrual phase. And also, you know, a lot of people get period pain and things like that, and I totally empathize with that. I used to get really bad period pain as well, and that definitely fuels hate for your period when you're in pain for like a week out of every month, and then you also have PMS symptoms on top of that, which can equal like 2 weeks out of your entire month. You're just like, it's hell for some people, especially if you have a premenstrual disorder like PMDD. And so for some people, the menstrual cycle can really be the enemy. I have had PMDD, and I've lived with PMS. I've, you know, lived with severe period pain when I was younger, but I still have learned to love my period and use it to my advantage, use it to actually manifest and do witchy shit. Like using my cycle to manifest what I want in my life. Because if you sync your life and your business with your menstrual cycle, you are like setting yourself up for success. Because a lot of us like do this hustle grind thing where like if we have a womb, we're going like 100% capacity all the time. That's not actually how our cycling bodies are built. Our cycling bodies are built to have two phases of the cycle where we're resting, and then the other two phases typically we're like up and going and we're like really efficient and productive. And so when you utilize those really productive phases of your cycle, then you're going to be more efficient, you're going to get more shit done, and then you're resting in the other two phases so that you can be more productive in those phases, but also so that you can reflect and actually slow down and really like analyze like the previous cycle and say, okay, what can I improve? It's like this big reflective time in your cycle when you're bleeding and when you're premenstrual, where you can, you know, work to heal like negative belief systems, unhelpful belief systems. You can like address like grief or any other like intense emotions that are coming up. And it's a time for like that suppressed and repressed shit to come up to be addressed. And so our cycle, if we utilize it correct, like properly and to our advantage, we can heal faster. We can become the person we want to be faster, and we can manifest the life that we want faster. And just be happier in general, more fulfilled. Yeah.
I never would have associated that cycle with that kind of like manifestation, because I mean, you know, why would I? I don't have the parts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But that is interesting. And it makes me, I guess, appreciate the cycle more from like an outsider point of view, that like, oh, wow, that is actually so intriguing. But I also wanted to talk about when it can be a bit of a disadvantage and it can be debilitating, because I am aware that there are people out there where their periods can be extremely painful. Like my former coworker, she doubled over during her shift because of intense dysmenorrhea. And I was like, oh, fuck, like, go find help. And then I also have a friend who told me at one point that she had her period for 3 consecutive months, just straight. And that was like endometriosis, I believe. So how do those kinds of like symptoms, how does that then become something that we can embrace, or is that something that we don't have to embrace because it's so debilitating?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I personally don't live with endometriosis. So I want to preface that I don't have personal lived experience with this, but I have friends with endo and my mum had endo, and I've seen the impact that it has on people's lives. It can affect people throughout their entire menstrual cycle, not just around their period. It can, yeah, really affect your sex life because you have a lot of pain, and it's chronic pain, essentially. So it's really debilitating. I would never say to someone with endo, you have to learn to love your period. Take it, like use it to your advantage, like appreciate it, show it gratitude. I think it comes back to the individual person. There might be, and I'm sure there's lots of people with endometriosis who still appreciate and love their menstrual cycle, but I'm sure there's a lot who really fucking hate it. And that's totally fair. I do think it's more beneficial to form a relationship with it where you don't hate it. But I think in the initial few years after diagnosis, when it's maybe like a lot tougher and a lot fresher and a lot more confronting, totally, absolutely valid to hate it. But I think over time, you know, because I live with like a lot of chronic health conditions myself, and I'm starting to learn that hating them and feeding them with hate and being like, I fucking hate you, and like beating it, like you're essentially beating down your own body by saying that stuff, because it's your own, it's not your body's fault. Your body is not wrong. Your body is not defective. You just have an illness. Okay. And I think it's, for me, something that I'm learning is to show my, this might sound really weird, but show like my chronic conditions love and see them and sit with that pain and be present with that pain and acknowledging the pain instead of like constantly pushing it away and being like, oh, just fuck off, I wish you weren't here, and just getting on with your day or just getting so absorbed in it that it really, like you just can't function, or it really affects your life, which sometimes is out of your control. But you know, sometimes it is easy to get into, I guess, more of that victim mindset where you're like, oh, why is this happening to me? And it's okay to have those thoughts some days, but we can't let that be happening all the time. And I think with something like endo, you don't have to love your menstrual cycle, but I definitely don't think it's beneficial to hate it. I do think that, like, you know, if you don't want it anymore, that's totally understandable. And I know a lot of people with endo do take like the pill or different contraceptives, or they have surgeries to help that pain. And, you know, if you want to stop your period because you're in pain, I totally get that. And I think that, you know, absolutely do that if that's an option for you. But I do think that we do need to be showing love to our bodies. And just sitting and being present with that pain, I think, is really important.
Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I think for anyone listening to this who is diagnosed with endo, I hope the pain does stop, and make the decision for yourself. Like if you feel like a hysterectomy might be the answer, yeah, then definitely go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, see if you can ask the doctor if they can keep your uterus in like a jar or something.
Yeah, I've seen people, like there was someone who had their fallopian tubes taken out, and they're really tiny and like very tiny and fragile fallopian tubes. Yeah. And they had them like put in like a necklace, it was really cute. So yeah, totally keep it. Fuck yeah. Oh, put it on your wall. Like, yeah.
Or if you like really have a hatred for the pain that it's given you, you can just send it off.
Get a knife and just stab it.
Stab, stab, stab. Or like take it to one of those rage rooms and then just like smash.
Absolutely recommend doing that.
Oh my God. Those are the best ones. Now, I want to stay on the topic of periods, specifically within sex. I have not really had much of an opportunity to have sex with someone who was on their period. However, I was having sex with a guy, and this was like several years ago. I was having sex with a guy, and he decided to keep like his genitals the way they were, like vulva and everything. And he was very nervous about his period coming. And I don't know if this was the right thing for me to say, but it made like a lot of humor, and it just made him laugh. I was like, when he thought his period was gonna come, I was like, ooh, I want to suck your clit. And like that did lighten the mood in the worst like accent that I could have pulled out of my ass. I want to suck your clit. So I wanted to know from you, Jem, what are some of the ways that people who have their periods can still enjoy sex while on their period?
Yeah, so obviously if you have period pain, if you have, you know, something like endo, in like sexual intercourse, like so penis or dildos inside your vagina might be quite painful, you could opt for anal. If you wanted, because you know, if that's an option, anal's great. But again, some people have, we get like anal pain. I don't know if you've seen videos.
Tiny little tight assholes.
But like there's some creators on like TikTok and stuff that make the most hilarious period content. And they will like be walking and then they're like, when like you get that, like that period stab, and then they're just like clenching their butt and like hopping away. Because sometimes you literally get this like dabbing comes out of nowhere, just into your asshole. And so sometimes like, yeah, it's a fucked thing. And so anal might not also be an option. You might also be constipated around your period, so that might not be nice either. And so you might just want to opt for more like outer course, which is the opposite of intercourse. So, you know, having sex outside the body, so pleasuring the vulva, the clitoris. And if you are, you know, funny about looking at the blood, you can just, you know, maybe put a tampon in or a menstrual cup or something, or you can just, you know, let the blood flow out. If you don't use one of those, if you use pads and period undies, then, I mean, you don't really have an option. The blood's going to be there. So if you want to have sex, you're going to have to look at the blood. So you're going to have to get comfortable with that. There's so many like ways that you can have sex that aren't intercourse. Because a lot of us do have a lot of fullness in our pelvic bowl around that time, and anything inside us can just feel not right. So I really recommend focusing on outer course around that time if that's you, and focusing on maybe nipple pleasure or BDSM stuff like spanking, you know, stuff that doesn't involve like even genitals. And sensual stuff, like sensual touch, can be really nice when you're bleeding, because you're in more of a yin phase of your cycle, and so you're in more of a receiving phase. So your partner or lovers might give you a nice sensual massage, or you might have a bath and they just like pleasure you, or like even rub your clit a little bit, or, you know, just nice sensual. Think about like candles and smells and different textures and things like that, I think can be really nice during sex while you're bleeding.
And also, let's not forget, mouth and hand stuff are so underutilized, at least for me.
Absolutely.
I think that not enough people are getting creative with mouth and hand stuff. Like, agreed. There's so many things that you can do with your mouth and hands in tandem. Like, you can do them solo, like massage, finger, masturbate, pinch, squeeze. With your mouth, you can like bite, nibble, you can lick,
a little
suck.
Clit nibble.
Yeah, and like use it in every single inch of your body, because your entire body is like a sexual organ. And,
yes,
you know, it's fun. Like, it's like
absolutely
a video game. It's like a video game. You're trying to find.
Yeah, it's like a little adventure. Like, if you approach it like that, it's like, what can we do today? Let's try something new. Like, yes, I'm bleeding, but why don't we like just lay next to each other and mutually masturbate? Or why don't we, I don't know, just spank each other and like play with some BDSM toys, like whip each other and shit.
Or somebody can be a DM and then the other one can like roll dice to see how effective a touch is.
Yes.
Dungeons and Dragons. Like, come on, Nat 20.
I've always wanted to play Dungeons and Dragons.
It's very fun. Aww. It's so exhilarating, and it can be sexual if you want it to be.
Ooh, can it?
I've had a friend.
Well, I guess anything can be.
Yeah, I've had a friend who basically derailed an entire campaign all because she just wanted to take her clothes off and fuck all the other characters.
That is so hot. Oh, true, because you make the story yourself,
yeah,
don't you?
Exactly. She
I
was
really
like,
need
oh.
to find a D&D crew. If there's anyone in Australia who does D&D, hit me up.
Oh my god, I'm pretty sure Australia has a lot of D&D nerds.
Yeah, I need to find them.
Yeah. Like, find Reddit or I don't know, Twitter, some sort of Facebook social group. Yeah, we're a horny bunch, us D&D players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all like the really kinky neurodivergent folks, I reckon. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I'm getting horny, so we gotta put a wrap. And I don't like to wrap anything, so before we please use a condom, even though I don't do as I say, not as I do. before we wrap up anything, Jem, I wanted to say thank you so much for bringing your knowledge, your wisdom, your witchery here on the Sex Ed with Tim podcast. Do you have any sort of like final thoughts on the conversation that we've had today, whether it be on periods or genital love?
I guess that like it's really important to address period shame. And you can have a lot of fun having period sex. And it's an entire week, usually, you know, out of your cycle that you're not having sex if you're not having period sex. And that sucks. And even if you're not in a relationship with someone, you can still have period sex. There are a lot of AMAB people and men out there who love period sex. Like my partner literally like loves it when I'm bleeding and will like lick my blood, and you know, you can get really fucking kinky with it. You can like lick up the blood, you can like, they can fuck you with their cock or something, and then you can lick the blood like off their cock. I love doing that. And so you can get like really creative with it, and it can become almost like a kit, like a bit of a blood kink, I guess, which I think is really fun. And it's just one of those other like sexual, like parts of your sexual self that you can explore. And I think it's not spoken about enough. And I think it's something that even sex educators don't talk about that much, is like just how exciting period sex can be and how much value it can add to your sex life. And I also want to say that, you know, if you're someone who has an outie like me and you're really struggling with vulva insecurity, then don't, like, you don't have to like suffer alone like I did for years. Like, just tell someone, even just talk to a friend about it, or talk to your partner about how you're feeling, even a therapist, you know, see a sex coach like myself. Like, don't just sit and suffer and wait for it to go away, because it can take a really long time when you're healing in like an insecurity like that by yourself and you have no idea where to start.
Mm-hmm. And that's an outie, O-U-T-I-E, not outie like the car.
Yeah, outie, yes.
Driving an outie. One of my favorite period sex moves, and this is just a story I'm retelling from a friend. I don't know if she did it or not, but she was like, take your thumb, get some blood on your thumb, and then wipe it on your partner's forehead and go, Simba.
Yes, do it.
Simba. Just like baptize them and sing Circle of Life as you put period blood on their forehead.
Oh, I love it.
It's the circle of life. Well, Jem, we've come to the end. I have finally climaxed. I am still dripping. Do you?
Dripping that cum.
Exactly. Do you have anything to plug? Can you please make like a butt and plug what you want the audience to find?
Yes. So I have a membership for people with outies and vulva insecurity. It's called the Outie Sanctuary Membership, and I can maybe give you a link to put in the show notes if you like. And it's only $66 a month, Australian dollars a month, so super affordable and accessible. And you can choose either a 6-month or a 10-month membership. And the reason that it's a few months long and you can't just, you know, choose to come in for a month and leave is because, like I said before, like healing vulva insecurity takes time and it takes commitment, and you need to be dedicated to that. You can't just expect to come in for a few weeks and be healed. Not how it works, babe. So yeah, I've set it as 6 months or 10 months. And within that membership, we have live group coaching calls every month, and then a live Q&A every month as well. So you have two live calls every month that you're in the membership, and then you have access to a massive library of healing resources like guided meditations, reprogramming tracks, affirmation tracks, education, like PDFs with lots of educational content, and then also like heaps of journal prompts and things like that as well. So yeah, you'll be supported by me. Like, I run all of the group coaching calls myself. So you'll be getting one-on-one coaching and group coaching from me within the program. And it's really for anyone. You don't have to have an Audi. It can just be anyone who has like any sort of vulva insecurity.
Love it. And where can people find you on your social media and your podcast?
Yeah. So my podcast is Blood Slut, and you can find that on any of the podcasting platforms. We're currently uploading to YouTube as well. And my Instagram and TikTok is at The Blood Slut. And my website is imawildgem.com. And that's where you can join the Audi Sanctuary membership through my website.
Amazing. Well, Gem, thank you so much for talking about periods today. Talking about
Thanks
Audis.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Thank you for making it this far into this amazing, chaotic-ass conversation. I got to get going. There's something in my throat.
And in your ass.
And in my ass. So I got to clear that up. This is why I'm talking like this. But please do not forget to rate, review, and subscribe. That 5-star rating, that review really does help the show, because you're supporting queer content, sex education content, and just overall amazing, funny, hilarious content. And if you don't give us that rating, you are a homophobe. You are racist. You're transphobic, you're a bigot, you're everything that we don't want. So I don't make the rules. You got to leave that rating if you don't want to be a bad person. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Sex Ed with Tim podcast. I will see you all at the next one. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Sex Ed with Tim podcast. Sex Ed with Tim is created and produced by me, Tim Lagman. Music is Aces High by Kevin MacLeod. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at GaySlutClown and at SexEdWithTim. You can also like and follow me on the SexEdWithTim Facebook page. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for all your support, you dirty little slut. Mwah.